Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If you'd like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, so just a couple of reminders for this morning. Since we're still doing the meetings by Zoom, those of you that are on Zoom, you can go ahead and please hit the microphone at the top of your screen to go ahead and mute yourself when you're not speaking. If there's more than one of you in an office and you're using two different computers, when you're not speaking, if you go ahead and disable the audio, that way we won't get feedback from two computers and one office. Those of you who are on the telephone, you can mute yourself by doing star six, and then you can also repeat that star six to unmute your phone. That way we don't get background, and the recording comes through a lot more clear than it is. When it's your turn to speak, if you'd please speak loudly and clearly so that it gets recorded properly, since we're doing things a little differently these days. And just remember that at the end of each agendized item, we'll take public comment, and please limit your comments to no more than 3 minutes. With that said, we're going to go ahead and move on to item number three. This is discussion for possible action. This is approval of the agenda for June 16th, 2020. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes or corrections to make to today's agenda?
No, Mr. Chairman. The agenda's fine the way it is. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Okay. With that, Commissioner Carmona, could I get a motion to approve today's agenda?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? And you'll hear me delay for a while because sometimes over the internet it takes time to get a response from people. So we'll always be a little bit of a delay. So hearing no public comment, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number four, discussion for possible action. Approval of the meeting minutes for May the 5th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, may I have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from the May 5th meeting.
Thank you. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to item number five, discussion for possible action, approval of the meeting minutes for May the 6th, 2020. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes from the May 6th meeting.
Okay.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item number six, discussion for possible action, approval of the minutes for the reconvened portion of the May 5th, 2020 meeting. Is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none. Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
I move to approve the reconvened meeting minutes from May 5th, 2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number seven. That's today's consent agenda. Does anyone have any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item eight. It's public comment. This is the first time we've done this in a while. We're going to have public comment towards the beginning of the meeting. So Go ahead. Who wants to go first?
Marshall, Nicole Bard, Stewart County resident. Just a quick question. I was reading a story, and CISLAC was talking about the CARES Act funding that Nevada got, and that it had been distributed. And in this article, there were a couple of either municipality or city in the South that were complaining that they didn't get any of that money. My question is, did Stark County get any CARES Act money?
Well, go ahead, and I'll have staff get back to you on that, Nicole. Thank you. Is there any public, any additional public comment?
Fisherman Brian Samsel, Gold Hill.
Go right ahead, Sam.
Just wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for the opportunity to address the meeting at the beginning. I think it's an excellent gesture to the folks in the community. And I just wanted to thank you personally for your service through the county. I was surprised that everyone or anyone with the outcome last Tuesday. And I just wanted to recognize the professionalism that you've run the county as chairman and the direction that you've led us. We haven't seen eye to eye on much of anything, but I recognize that you are perhaps the most professional chair that the county's had in decades. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam. Okay, additional public comment. Okay, hearing no additional public comment, we're going to move on to item number 9. This is discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports, and I'll start with the Sheriff's Office with Sheriff Antonoro.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thanks, Sheriff. We'll go over to Public Works for Operations. Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have two agenda items coming up later. I'll let them speak for themselves. The only thing I wanted to update the board on is the Divine Building redesign. We are at 100% completion on drawings and specifications. Those are being assembled right now. They will be out to bid and on the street by Monday, July 22. We're currently recommending a 30-day bid period, which would put opening of bids at or about July 22. And that's all I have today, sir.
Great. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Northan?
None, Chairman.
No questions.
Very good. Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
On the board. I see the county assessors on the board. Jana Seddon, do you have anything for us today?
Yes, sorry. I got unmuted in video. I really want to thank everyone of our residents in Story County that have been turning in our occupancy cards. Yesterday was the 15th. That is statutory deadline, but I do want to let everyone know we are still accepting these, the owner occupancy cards and your exemption notices. We will be accepting them through the end of June before the close of roll, and even for those, which we have always done in the past, we have always accepted even after we close the roll, and we have submitted corrections to the commission and the treasurer to have those, the 3% caps and the veterans exemptions applied even after taxes have gone out. We're just hoping that we can curtail as many of those corrections as possible this year. Due to the new system, it's not easy to do corrections yet because I'm not even sure they're actually in place. You have to actually go through DevNet. So I just want to let everyone know, thank you for the responses we've been getting. But those that have not turned them in, please continue to send them in because we are still accepting them.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Jana. Over at the community chest in the library, Eric Schoen.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, and I'm not making any money off of this, you'll notice I'm wearing some glasses. These are the blue light glasses, which help to filter out the blue light from computers and screens. And I tell you, they're a game changer for anybody who has to spend a significant amount of time online during Zoom meetings, which seems to be the normal. Much less fatigue than without these glasses. So they're not too expensive. I think these were about 15 to 20 bucks, and boy, they sure make a difference. So good morning, everybody. Just a couple of updates, mostly just building on what I talked about last time. Our summer program is now open with 30 students. It's pretty much full, but if folks are still interested in getting their students enrolled, I would encourage them to reach out to our youth programs director, Shannon Parsons, and get on the wait list. She'll be able to let you know what the likelihood of getting a kiddo into a summer program might be. Our early childhood education program as well has been able to expand a little bit using the current space still and maintain social distancing. So same story there. If folks are interested, they're feeling more comfortable about having their kiddos around other humans, they should reach out to Shannon and let her know that as well. And then also I'm going to provide an update too on the Paycheck Protection Loan and the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan. We were ultimately successful in getting both of those, which what that means for us is provide some stability in an uncertain time, at least over the next 6 to 9, even possible 12 months, depending on how long we make it stretch. So I'm glad for programs, for the employees, and it means we can continue to keep them employed and keep our programs going at a time when I think they're needed more than ever. So that's good news. That's all I have, Chairman.
Great. Thank you. Commissioners, Carmona, do you have any questions for Eric?
Not at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Eric?
No questions.
Very good. Thank you, Eric. All right. Move along to Story County Recorder. Marty Hansen Martinez.
Nothing today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Marty. Okay. Story County Senior Citizens Center, Stacey York.
Hello, Stacey York for the record. I will also be giving an update for Lockwood as well. Right now we have part-time positions available through the senior center for homemaker and transportation driver. And I just wanted to let everybody know too that our meals at both locations have doubled in the amount that we are serving. In Lockwood, that's all meals on wheels. Up here in Virginia City is drive-through meals on wheels. But we are doubling, so serving a lot of people. And that is all.
Okay. You're doing great work down there, Stacey. Thank you. Commissioners, any questions for Stacey? Commissioner Carmona?
Not today.
All right.
Not today, Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman?
No questions.
All righty. Over at our IT department, James Dean. Okay, we'll come back to James, Public Works Director, Jason Wierzbeski.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioner, Jason Wierzbeski for the record. Just a quick update, we started the waste management turnaround down in Lockwood today, and doing quite a bit of mowing behind the Rainbow Bend community garden area. And that's all I have.
All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jason today?
No, just wanted to thank you and the team for getting on that turnaround. I know that folks down there will be happy that they'll have trash service again, and glad to see the motors up and running.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Okay. Over at Labor Relations, Jeannie Green.
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Very good. Over at HR, Jen Chapman. I thought I saw her on the board. Is she not on the board?
No,
Okay. I'll go back and see if James Dean is available. You hear James?
James Dean, Story County IT, am I coming through okay?
Yeah, you're fine. Crystal clear.
Thank you for coming back to me. Just real quick, I wanted to update you guys. All the microwave links in Virginia City are at 100% operational strength. We had a couple of realignments a few weeks ago, so we're back into a redundant mode and operating very well. And also, all departments in the county are on Active Directory and using Office 365 successfully. That's all I have.
Very good. Great. Thanks, James. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for James?
No, I just wanted to thank you guys for getting that up and running. I've been using it seamlessly, so thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
No questions.
Very good. All right. Let's move over to our Tourism Department, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Commissioner Chairman and Commissioner Denny Dotson for the record. You know, a couple of good things here to announce. You know, it's nice to see people on the boardwalk right now. Even in the middle of the week, we've had an influx of folks a little bit. Even yesterday, with the little bit blusterier weather, there were still quite a few people. Saw some families walking around and somewhat of a normal, you know, traffic pattern to see this time of year. So it's encouraging. Also, just an FYI, Tom Gray at the V&T will be running the steam starting this weekend. He's going to run on weekends for a while. He's also going to do a special 4th of July training. So that's just about our last, except with the exception of the 4th Ward School, our last property that to open. Speaking of 4th Ward School, we went through a round of interviews, and we are down to one candidate, and we still have a little negotiating to do, and a final interview with the full board, but hopefully fill that slot real soon and make an announcement. Speaking of 4th of July, a million-dollar question. You know, what are we doing? We are literally getting hundreds of inquiries through email, social media, calls to the visitor center, and we've been meeting quite a bit with the emergency management team here with the community, taking into consideration all of the information that's out there, the current information. Last night, listening to the governor, you know, extend phase two. So where that leaves us and the decision that we're going to go with is to do a cruise versus a parade to folks to open highway to practice their social distancing. And there'll be no walking groups, no passing out candy, no equestrian groups. We'll also have volunteers on the boardwalk encouraging folks to you know, not to congregate. Unfortunately, the phase two doesn't call for concerts. We had two planned, but unfortunately at this time, unless things change, we're gonna have to hold off on those. And then that leaves us with the fireworks. Our plan still is to go ahead with the fireworks, weather permitting, as always. But we're going to really keep a lid on it, kind of be quiet, not promote it too much, and highly encourage folks to be very socially distant, watch it from their vehicles, and also enjoy it through Virginia City's webcam. It's a great position, great shot. They can watch the fireworks safely from their own home. With that, again, we're just not going to be doing any promoting for the weekend. We know it's going to be busy already. We also are going to be working with local merchants. I'll be out on talking to them. We know there'll be an influx of people. We always know that food is an issue. For those that want to put out a little extra space on the boardwalk, we're waiving all the fees. We're helping the merchants do whatever they can to accommodate safely. You know, we're still handcuffed with the 50% occupancy. So we want to help each one of them when we can safely to accommodate the crowd and maintain that social distancing. We also, from a marketing standpoint, are starting a new campaign. We'll announce that here in about a week. Our creative is just about done. It's a everyone's a local campaign. And what that is basically is that anybody that comes to town that purchases one of our attraction tickets will get be eligible for discounts through all of our merchants here in town. So kind of a little incentive. Thank you people for just coming up and visiting us. And then finally, one last thing. Thursday, 7 o'clock, bingo night at the Pipers. So we have a little gaming license. Whitney has done a great job organizing this, and we are starting bingo. We're trying to tie it in and suggest folks to go have a little dinner somewhere here in town first, show up and play some bingo. It'll be the I believe the third Thursday of each night of each month at 7 o'clock, we'll do a game night. Again, structured very heavily for a local focus. That's all I have.
Very good. Thanks, Denny. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Denny?
Not at this time, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Denny? All righty. Over at Community Relations, Laura Mather.
Hi, I'm Laura Mather for the record. I do have some good news with regard to our historic sites here in the community. The Commission for Cultural Centers and Historic Preservation Grant, which is through the Nevada State Historic Preservation Office, they just announced their final grant awards. This is a grant that opens up every 2 years. This go-round, there was $2,850,000 worth of funds to be distributed. However, the total amount of requests that came in to them for 25 projects was over $5 million. So they had to make some, probably some tough decisions for them. St. Mary's Art Center, for their 2020 exterior and print room restoration project, they received $100,000. Comstock Cemetery Foundation, for their Spark of Life story platform and visitor center, received $65,000. And the Historic Fourth Ward School, for their exterior restoration, received $111,000. So for those three historic sites here in Virginia City, they received $276,000. So they all did a great job, as somebody who's worked for a nonprofit, all of those grants are just incredibly helpful and make a big difference. So thank you to all of them for doing such a great job. End of my report.
Great, thanks, Laura. That's terrific news. That's really good. Commissioner Carmona, any questions for Laura?
Not at this time, thank you.
Right. Commissioner Gilman?
Thank you, Austin.
Very good. All right, move along to Director of Emergency Management, Joe Curtis.
Play this game of who turns the volume down and who turns it up, turn the speakers on and all that stuff. So good morning, commissioners and folks out there. A few things that I'd like to just run past you real quick, and not quite as heavy of a briefing as we've had in the past. But a reminder that we had a meeting this morning, a conference call that we have with Carson City Health and Human Services, and discussions with the Ford County epidemiologist. And this is kind of a reminder that this is not over yet, that this COVID thing is not over. And everybody seems to think that it is over, and it is not over. And we need to keep that in mind so that we don't end up with a bunch of big spikes around one area and another. The cases that we're seeing currently in Nequot County are generally linked to household and other close contact situations where someone has a large family or family members, and they really don't do that good of an isolation within their own household, and they end up passing that on to other people, which then pass it to others. That's where a lot of that is coming from. We're still seeing people show up to work that are sick, exposing others, and we remind everyone again that do not show up to work if you're sick and concerned. There are locations by which you can get checked and so forth, and you can always go to the COVID hotline and call them and ask for guidance. That number is 775-283-4789 and is on our county website and immediately available to you. So we say again, that we're seeing people in gyms, in hair salons, settings that are positive tests, and then they sometimes expose others. We know the general symptoms of the COVID, but we also know that cough and fever is there, but sometimes the sore throat and milder symptoms also be in So we say masks, social distancing, and hand washing is still important. It hasn't lost any of its importance factor. Community testing is being conducted in the surrounding counties. A lot of testing opportunities that are available for people within the four counties are in Carson City, testing, Dayton testing, BC, Tahoe, and Story County. We will be doing community testing in Lockwood and in the Highlands in July. And this will continue every month for possibly up to 2 years that we're going to have to do this for the CDC and the Fed. So people can test multiple times if they wish. There's no reason you can't test every time that one of those testing centers comes up if you feel the need to do so. Tomorrow, Wednesday, the Virginia City at the Senior Center, we will be having our Virginia City test site from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., at the Senior Center. And here again, anybody and everybody, no appointment is required. Just show up and get in line if you feel that you'd like to be tested for any reason. And again, it's a swab type of test, and it's in conjunction with, in coordination with, the Carson City Health and Human Services, who is the health functionary for the four county areas during the course of this event. Also, you know, we've talked about the C Street hand sanitizer program. The items or the stands, if you will, have all been manufactured. We have them. They're ready to be installed. We did install three of them yesterday. We hope to install quite a bit more of them today, but by the end of the week, they will all be installed up and down C Street. There's about 12 on each side of the street from the sheriff's office north to the area the way it was, actually. So that program is well on its way. This morning, roughly, the COVID update for the morning. Carson City's had a total of 123 cases. 32 of them are currently active and 86 are recovered. Douglas County has 46. 12 are active, 32 is recovered. Lyon County, 92. 24 are active and 66 have recovered. And of course, we're still at one case and zero active and one recovered. And that particular one that we had here was one that contracted at Marino. So it didn't appear that it was contracted within Story County. So the total for the quad county is 262 cases. 70 of them are still active, and 185 of them have recovered, and the Quad County shows a number of 7 in the way of deaths. If you have symptoms, as I said, call the COVID hotline. Another quick thing regarding, you know, as we approach the 4th of July, I get lots of alerts and so forth talking about watching out for the area, see something, say something type of thing relating to suspicious activities of one kind or another. The 4th of July event, wherever it is in the United States and even here in Virginia City, is what's considered a soft target for whatever problems people might want to impose upon them. And those are locations or environments that are easily accessible, that attract large numbers of people on a predictable or a semi-predictable basis. And that's exactly what our 4th of July event is. So we want to be careful and watch out for any potential problems, and any of our employees should report anything they see odd or unusual about the event during the course of it. Other than that, that's really all I have for you today, and I appreciate the opportunity to keep you informed on various aspects of dealing with the various situations we have currently in the county. With that, I would open to any particular questions from anyone.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Joe?
I do. Joe, I apologize, but would you be able to repeat the date for the testing center in Virginia City, please?
Tomorrow, from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Excuse me, 10 a.m. It's a two-hour window, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's at the senior center. And we expect people to be lining up before 8 a.m. to get lined up and do that. Last time we even held it open a little later because we got more people. And so we expect a fair amount of people tomorrow. And we will be ready for it. We'll be setting up at about 7 a.m. Again, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the seniors. Excuse me, I keep wanting to say 11 for some reason. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. At the senior center tomorrow morning, Virginia City.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
No questions. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Over at the planning department, Kathy Canfield.
Good morning. I have nothing today. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. Over at the comptroller's office, Jennifer McCain.
Thank you, Chairman.
All righty.
Hey, Lance, you got to mute your microphone.
Okay. At the fire department, Chief Nevin.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Our Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Keith. County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Most of my items are on the agenda, but I'll go over a couple. The governor called actually himself to inform us that we were receiving approximately $800,000 for CARES Act reimbursement money. So that money will actually come to the county up front. We use it for COVID-related expenses, which include overtime, masks, equipment, things like that. Joe and Laura are working on accounting for all of that, and then what we don't use, we give back. I see in the reports now that's reporting around $750,000. It is possible that the initial number was an estimate, but we are getting that money. The governor must have felt it important enough to actually call the sum office directly himself to inform us of that. We're still working on the Lockwood Senior Center discounts for trash pickup. We're going to have to use a unique way to do that because there's a little bit of a difference between their franchise agreement and our franchise agreement, but I'm sure and have let those folks down there know that we're going to come up with an equivalent program for them so they can get discounts for being qualified senior citizens in their trash pickup. I don't know if Dave Ballard is on. I'm going to ask if Dave Ballard can.
I don't see him on the board, Austin.
Okay, if he's not, I'm going to speak on his behalf. He and our IT folks are in the process of converting a bank building to the 911 dispatch center. It's a huge project, a very important project, and they're moving forward very nice on that. That center will link into all of the new microwave equipment that James talked about, as well as other 911 equipment. I believe that's going to be done here in a few months, somewhere probably close to September, October. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not, Chairman. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin? All righty, we'll move along now to Story County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens.
I don't have anything.
All right, Vanessa has nothing today. Now, I'm looking at the board. I'm not always sure on who, if I've missed anyone. So if I have any department heads or elected officials or staff that I haven't called on, go ahead and speak up now. Hearing none, that concludes committee and staff reports. This time we'll move along to item number 10. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And I'll start with Commissioner Gilman.
No comment today, thank you.
All right, thank you, Lance. Commissioner Carmona, Vice Chairman?
Nothing today, Chairman.
Thank you, Jay. And I, too, don't have anything. It's already been brought up that the governor is keeping us in phase two through January the 30th, unless things change. There is a potential or a possibility that he could move us into phase three before that if our flat line curve stays down. But you never know, because we don't know if phase three has been written yet, and we haven't had any contact with his lead team now in over 2 weeks. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and move on now to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. This is the acceptance of the renewal proposal from the Nevada Public Health, the Nevada Public Agency Insurance Pool, and approval for payment for the fiscal year 2020-2021. And in attendance today, I see we have Carol Ingles from A&H Insurance, which is our representative, and I see Wayne Carlson is on the board, and he's with the pool pack as well. So who wants to take lead on this? Austin, did you want to take lead, or do you want to pass it on to Carol or Wayne?
I'd be happy to pass it on to Carol. We talked a bit, and I think she's ready with Wayne for a presentation. Go for it, Carol.
Okay, I'm going to remind you to go ahead and turn your microphone on, Carol. The top of your screen, you should find your audio up there.
Now?
There you go. Now you're off again. Okay, you're good. All right. Good morning.
Good morning. And thank you for having us. There is a, as you know, typically a more formal presentation. Austin has that and can distribute it to the commissioners for your perusal at your convenience. But because of the length of your agenda, we'll try to keep it down to brass tacks and any questions that you might have. Initially, one of the issues that needs to be brought up is the fact of the insurance industry, and I'm talking globally. There's a page provided by Mr. Carlson in your packet with regard to the state of insurance and the state of the market. For over 2 years now, insurance carriers have suffered over 100% loss ratio in the property market because of all the natural disasters and ongoing situations with fires and earthquakes and other global situations. And so it's not specific to us, but it is international, and so the international market, their rates had to be increased, so there was an increase in the property rate itself with regards to liability insurance. The unending litigation that goes on throughout the world and the settlements between 2014 and 2018 have almost doubled in the amount that has been awarded. So there was an increase in liability insurance. So it was sort of a bit of a double whammy. And when I'm finished, Wayne can give you probably even a clearer explanation of that. So I'm going to move on to just what's going on with Story County. And excuse me, I've been fumbling with these figures so that I would be organized. The county, in addition to rate increases, the exposures within the county also changed. The amount of property insurance, the number of vehicles, the number of deputies, you know, those numbers are a variable that contribute to what your premium is. As a result of last year's appraisal of all the county buildings, the total insured values actually went down a little bit, and we don't have less insurance, but we did go down 1.7%. However, payroll went up 14%, and the number of vehicles went up 11.4%, and number of officers, deputies, sheriffs, that went up almost 35%, which is a big number, but it went from 20 to 27, so I don't want to give you an artificial sense, you know, out of range or out of line. And the number of employees went down a little bit. So you can see that there's been a fluctuation in all of the different components that create the final rate, and so Story County's rate increase was 16.6%. That contemplates the national or the international global increase in pricing, as well as the increase in our specific exposures. Now, one of the positive things, and I can't reiterate this enough, is the number of services that the county is receiving through the insurance pool. And over the course of time, we've had three grants for about $4,600, and there's been risk management grants in excess of $52,000, and then, of course, HR savings through pooling resources. The savings has been a little over $72,000. So the services are there, the services are working, and we have, still have the most comprehensive program that's available anywhere. The program itself has expanded to, with cyber liability, it's become so unique and comprehensive in itself. There's a separate policy. It used to be combined with the package of the property and liability, and now a separate policy has been issued specifically just to cover cyber liability. And so I'm giving you sort of the state of that. I'm trying to see if there's other issues. I think at this point, the programs available, one of the really important, they don't brag about themselves, but the people from Pool Pack do a lot. They volunteer to try to assist different departments with risk management programs and different things that are going on with regard to e-learning and with the sheriff and law enforcement and with workers' comp and cyber. I think he took advantage of the cyber liability where they were able to have a professional come in and test your system specifically for cybersecurity. And so those are the kinds of services that are being offered that just simply aren't out there in the regular market with standard insurance carriers. I would be remiss if I didn't let you know there was an earthquake a few weeks ago, and the pool in central Nevada, and the pool has hired structural engineers to go out and do assessments on public buildings to see if there is unseen damage to the structures. That's a risk management tool, because if there's unseen damage and 6 months from now things start to crumble, it's better to prevent the loss, because if they catch it now, they can repair it. And remember that you do have earthquake coverage. So those are just some of the highlights that I wanted to share with you. And now I'll turn it over to Wayne to cover all the gaps that I may have left.
Great. Thank you, Carol. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. Wayne Carlson, for the record. I'll just highlight a few things that we've had the property coverage limits and so forth that we've maintained in the past, including earthquake and flood, we were able to sustain. And as Carol said, there was an increase in the
in the reinsurance rate that was fairly substantial. It was substantial from our point of view, but it was about half or less of what the worldwide market was doing to a lot of accounts. So it's because of our group's good loss experience overall that we were able to hold that balance. So that helped us, but it still was an end result of the increase. As Carol mentioned, we split out the cyber coverage from the regular liability coverage. We did maintain the limits for both the same, but on the cyber, we were able to add some enhancements to that coverage, bring it in line with where the current markets are. We also maintain for you the environmental liability coverage or legal liability result of third-party environmental claims. So we maintain that intact. As Carol mentioned, we continue to provide budget for extensive amount of services. And I'll just highlight that this year we've spent quite a bit of time for all of our members working on law enforcement policies, getting those updated given the current COVID environment, as well as case law changes. We've included jail reviews in those services. In addition, we continue with the cyber protection. We enhanced our services there. We have a program called Know Before, and we encourage, I don't know if Austin, if you've signed up for it yet or not, but Know Before is a service that will allow employees to be tested to see whether they succumb to these fake emails that result sometimes in hacks. So we have that service available to all our members. We're just rolling it out. We're asking members to sign up for it. We signed up for it in our office, and so periodically we'll get an email and we have to double check to see if that email is legit or not. If we don't do a good job of detecting that, then it'll pop up with a screen that says, you now get to take an assigned e-learning course to improve your skills in recognizing bad emails. So we think it's a great tool to prevent cyber claims. So that's another feature that we rolled out this year. So overall, the program is in good shape, and we wish we didn't have the increases we do, but that's the nature of the beast. So with that, I'll stop for any questions.
Okay. That's my fellow commissioners. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Carol or Wayne?
Not at this time, Chairman. Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Commissioner Gilman?
No questions.
All right. So I don't know who wants to handle my question, Carol or Wayne. How is Story County's loss ratio in this fiscal year compared to last year? Do we have those numbers?
I do. You did a fantastic job. And I'll tell you how fantastic in just a second. We have charts. We have charts. Over the course of the last 3 years, in 2017, we had over $148,000 in losses, and in 2018, we had $52,000 in losses, and in 2019, we had $1,378 in losses, so that's a really, really, it's a substantial decrease in what's going on with regard to claims. I think you can attribute a lot of it to good risk management programs, and we didn't have the severe weather that, created a lot of water damages from prior years. So, just remember, 2016 was over $1 million. So, with regard to claims, it was a historically low number. Wayne, did you want to add to that?
I think 2015 and 16 were sort of outlying years in your history.
That happens to all of our members periodically. It's got a year where bad claims occur. And of course, the big one in 2016 was some flood loss. So that's another reason for having that coverage. That was protection when you need it.
That's very good. Austin, do you have any questions or comments?
Just a couple. First, I want to thank Carol for really reaching out to us very consistently. And over the last year, we've really worked with her to try to make sure that we're communicating all of our assets to her. There were some things that were not on the books, and we want to make sure we have that coverage, whether it's buildings, vehicles, or whatever. Our group is also, with the comptroller's office, embarking on a fixed assets inventory and reduction program. We have a lot of these cars. It isn't that we're accumulating more cars than we had before, but we're not getting rid of the old cars that have a million miles on them. So we're working on getting those inventory, getting them off to auction, and getting them out of the insurance pool. So that will help that situation. And I know James is on the phone here with us with IT, but he's just been doing an amazing job with the cybersecurity stuff and putting together training programs. He's got a lab set up where his own staff will try to hack themselves and do things to test our systems. He does massive systems upgrades, as you're aware, on our commission meetings. The approvals that have been in the millions as far as putting systems together that deal with these things. A lot of cloud-based stuff and like Carol had discussed, with chats and emails and training and all of that. So I want to thank James and his team for all they've done in that area. So thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Okay. So before I call for a motion to approve this renewal insurance contract, I'll open up if there's any public comment. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the renewal contract with Poolpack for 2021.
Second your motion.
All right, I have a motion.
Before you call a vote, I want to make sure you all are clear because the packet did not have a document. The amount that you're approving for the public to know is $413,619.53 for this purpose. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Okay, I have a motion and I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Well, Mr. Carlson and Ms. Ingalls, thank you for attending today.
Thank you.
And thank you for continuing to insure Surrey County.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's move on to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of a contract with Desert West Builders to provide and erect an approximately 2,000 square foot metal building at Fire Station 72 in the Highlands for the purpose of storing fire apparatus in the amount of $61,974.99. This building will facilitate conversion of an existing apparatus bay to the Highlands Community Center. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to pass it over to Mike Northern, our project manager, to take lead on this. I'll be happy to answer questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. Mike Northern, for the record. As you can see, it's a contract to provide and install.
Okay, Mike, you're going to need to readjust your microphone or something. We're getting... I don't think so.
Really?
Okay. It's kind of fuzzy, so I don't know. Maybe you can do a test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or
yeah, that's test 1, 2.
We have a problem with your microphone.
Yeah, it's static, Mike.
Give me 1 second.
Okay.
All right,
We're still having issues with it.
Wow. I don't know if I can do this, the only microphones that I have.
Maybe can you turn it off and turn it back on again?
Alright, anybody hear me now?
That's better.
Okay, we'll try it this way then. Thank you. Again, this is a contract for the construction of a metal building at Station 72, purpose of which is to house some fire apparatus and also provide a workspace for maintenance of equipment. The reason we're doing this is to free up an existing metal building that we would like to use for a community center out there, a multi-purpose building. But I can't begin work on the existing metal building until we have this new one up and running, so that's why you're seeing this this proposal today. I will point out we did go out to unsolicited quotes from various metal building providers, and Desert West came in with easily the best price. They're offering a quality product, in my view. The contract amount of $61,974, I need to point out, includes the fabrication, delivery, and erection of the building. It also includes the doors, the insulation package, and it also includes the slab and foundation system that the building sits on. So we view this as a good price and a very efficient way to get this done. And that's what I'll have for you, sir.
Very good. It looks like a terrific price for a building that size, too. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike regarding this?
No questions. I just want to say that I'm very thankful that this project is moving forward. It will greatly benefit my community, as I'm sure the fire department will have a nice new parking facility too. So, thank you.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
I echo Jay's comments. I'm just very pleased we're moving forward on this. It's been a long time coming, and but it's online at this point. And thank you very much, Mike, for all the work.
Very good. Great. Then I'll open it up now for public comment. All right, hearing none, if I could ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve this this contract with Desert West Builders.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to authorize the county manager to execute a contract with Desert West Builders to provide and erect a 30 by 42 metal building at Fire Station 72 in the Highlands for the purpose of storing fire apparatus in the amount of $61,974.99. This building will facilitate conversion of an existing apparatus bay to the Highlands Community Center.
All right. I have a motion. I have a second.
Okay.
It's been moved and seconded to approve this contract. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 13. This is a discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of contract with Desert West Builders to provide and construct an approximately 30 by 28 metal building, addition to the Divide Justice Center building at 800 South C Street, Virginia City, to facilitate workshop and office space for the Story County Information Technology, also known as the IT Department, for a sum of $44,632.10. Mr. Northan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northan again for the record. This is very similar to the last item, and what this amounts to is an addition to the Divide building. We're running this as a separate scope of work from the tenant improvement, which I reported on earlier in my staff remarks. And again, this is Desert West Builders came in with a great price and, again, a very quality product. This is going to allow us to provide permanent office facilities for our information technology department there on the site. And again, the contract price of $44,632.10 does include the fabrication of the building, delivery, erection, and the slab. I'll have a little bit of coordinating to do to try and get the tenant improvement work at the Divide
underway concurrently with this effort. We're going to try and do that as rapidly as possible. Again, these metal buildings really represent a very efficient way to provide interior quality interior space, so we're very happy with that.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Mike?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Great, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions, but I'm sure pleased with the numbers that are coming in. We're getting some nice bids.
Yes, we are. It's about time, too. All right, we'll open up for public comment.
Chairman McBride, Sam Tolkold, Hill for the record. Quick question regarding the amount of money that will be spent on flushing that building out for use. Do we have a figure on how much that's going to be?
Which building are you referring to, Sam?
This 800-square-foot addition to the Justice Center.
And what's your question again?
Well, if you pencil out 40,000 by 800 square feet, it's about $53 a square foot. Just curious how much it'll take to put sheetrock and desks and other accoutrements to make it functional.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll have staff get back to you on that since we don't have those figures in front of us.
It sounds like Mr. Northman might have that information at his fingertips.
Anyway.
And I was just going to tell you, I don't have anything hard and concrete on that. I can tell you that the interior finishes are part and parcel with the building. It's not exactly gypsum wallboard. It's a finished insulation type of stuff. We are going to have a small additional cost in getting some plumbing over to that building and a split system, HVAC system. That's expected to be very, very minor.
Thank you, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Additional public comment. I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to authorize the county manager to approve a contract with Desert West Builders and construct an approximate 30 by 28 metal building addition to the Divide Justice Center building at 800 South C Street, Virginia City, to facilitate workshop and office space for the Story County Information Technology Department for a sum of $44,632.10.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion for possible action, authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $14,000 for up to 9 months for a temporary mobile modular office and or a workspace in which Story County Information Technology staff may perform work while permanent space is under planning and construction at the Divide Justice Center building. The not to exceed amount will include setup, deposits, monthly rent, lease, and decommissioning. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Since it's a temporary space as suggested in the language for the IT department, to work while the building, the annex onto the Divide Justice Center building, as said in the staff report, IT right now, they've been a little bit bounced around from office to office over the past several years. Right now, half of them are working in the attic at St. Mary's, the other half in a small building in town, and there's just one problem after another. So best way to address this is just to create some temporary space for them. In this case, if you were to go out to a construction site or real estate area, you would see pretty much one of those module buildings they have out there. That's what we're proposing we do. For up to 9 months, I think the use will probably be closer to 6, 7, or 8 months that we will just lease one of these spaces. And then the IT department can move in. Jim Chapman in my office went out and sought some bids to see if we can get the best price for this, because these things can have some hidden costs and be a little bit tricky. And so she had gone out to Design Space, Quick Space, and Will Scott. And there's a lot of moving parts, but Will Scott came out to be the best price, and they would also be united with United Services for restroom. It's a self-contained system to have that black water and gray water service. So I'm open to any questions you might have, and this will get the IT department where they need to be right now.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No, I do not at this time.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
I do not as well.
All right. We'll open up for public comment. Hearing none, if I could ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve this contract.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $14,000 and up to 9 months for a temporary mobile modular office and or workspace in which Story County information technology staff may perform work while permanent space is under planning and construction at the Divine Justice Center building. The not-to-exceed amount will include setup, deposits, monthly rent, lease, and decommission.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion for possible action, confirmation of comptroller chosen by county manager in accordance with appointment procedures and NRS 251.170. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On May 26th, Jim McCain was offered a position of comptroller at Story County, and so that has been completed. NRS 251.170 requires that the Board of Commissioners consider confirmation of the comptroller that is chosen by the county manager.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, any questions for Austin?
Just a comment that you've done a wonderful job, Jennifer has, on our budget work this year with all the departments. And I certainly celebrate this. I think she's a wonderful position there for us.
Great. Thank you, Lance. I'll open it now for any public comment regarding this item. All right, hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to for this confirmation.
In accordance with the procedure set forth by NRS 251.170, I, Jay Carmona, motion to confirm the county manager's appointment of Jennifer McCain as the Story County Comptroller.
Okay. I have your motion.
Okay, I have a motion. I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Once again, Ms. McCain, congratulations on your appointment as a new Story County Comptroller.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your faith in me, and I plan on making the commissioners and my county manager, Austin Osborne, very proud.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Move along to item number 16, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution number 20-578 declaring intention of Story County to amend lease with Divide Fitness Incorporated of real property and improvements owned by Story County located at 800 South C Street in Virginia City, Nevada. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Keith Loomis, District Attorney, WBA is on the line. I think you would like to cover that.
Okay, very good. All right, Mr. Loomis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you fine.
This is there is an existing 2-year lease with Divide Fitness, and it's been requested that that lease be extended in accordance with NRS 244.2833 is the statute that we're operating under to extend the 2-year lease to 3 years. And include an option for an additional 2 years extension after that. The statute requires that that the original lease be approved by a process of publication and public hearing. There is no provision in the statute as to what you're supposed to do if you're amending a lease under that statute. So in an excess of caution, what I'm recommending is that we go ahead and follow the publication and hearing process, which is what this resolution is designed to do. So under the statute, the Board of County Commissioners has to make a finding that the change in the lease is in the best interest of the county. We publish it in the newspaper and indicate that the hearing will be not less than 10 days or more than 20 days after the publication. And I have provided an expanded resolution to Vanessa, which sets that date as July 7th for the first meeting in July. And that is the purpose of this resolution, is to provide the publication and the public hearing. We'll actually address the lease itself until July 7th.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Chief Deputy District Attorney Loomis?
I do not.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Keith?
I have none.
All right. Go ahead and open it up for any public comment. Okay, then I'll go back and ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution 20-578.
All right.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved to second to approve resolution 20578. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 17, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of resolution number 20-582 to reduce on a day-to-day prorated basis the total rent lease of all non-essential commercial tenants of properties owned by Story County in order to close by Governor Sisolak's Directive 003 on March 20th of 2020. This will provide an additional 10 days rent forgiveness to Divide Fitness and an additional 4 days of rent forgiveness to the Old Corner Bar from that already provided per resolution 20-568. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this, or Mr. Loomis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there's much to say. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just as a recap, resolution 20-568 gave rent forgiveness from March 20 to March up to May 18th. Directive 003 and the closure extended beyond that period. So we extended that. Resolution 20-569 would be from May 19 to May 29. During that time, the board had approved off-site liquor sales that allowed the Old Corner Bar to open partially during a period of time in there. The Divide remained completely closed on the fitness center. So as it says, there would be a credit according to that, and this just provides a little bit of rent extension in accordance with the findings that were in the first rent extension for the closure by the governor. Thank you.
All right, great. Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
No questions, thank you.
All right. I'll go ahead and open it up for any public comment regarding this item. Okay. With that said, I'll go ahead and go back to Commissioner Carmona and ask you to entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
Chairman, voted against this when it came around the first time, so if you don't mind, I'm going to pass on making this motion.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, would you mind entertaining a motion to approve this resolution?
I will entertain the motion.
Okay.
I will motion to approve resolution number 20-582 that will reduce a day-to-day prorated basis the total rent lease of all non-essential commercial tenants of properties owned by Story County and ordered to close by Governor Sisolak, Directive 003, March the 20th, 2020. This will provide an additional 10 days rent forgiveness to the Divide Fitness and an additional 4 days of rent forgiveness to the Old Corner Bar from that already provided for resolution
20-568. Very good. And I'm going to second your motion because I think it's I think it's fairness that when the government shuts down a business, that who are exactly that are their tenant? I don't think we can expect them to pay rent when it's not any fault of their own. Anyway, with that said, I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, thank you. Motion carries. Move along now to item number 18, discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of stipulation stipulation number 4 between Story County and the Reno, of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, LLC, which is the TRI Center, addressing additional revenues to be included as project revenues that are available to retire outstanding vouchers issued by Story County to TRI Center, providing for the providing for retirement of vouchers in the amount of $4 million by TRI Center in lieu of constructing a fire station and park for the conveyance of real property APN 005-041-65 to Story County by TRI Center as a location for constructing a new fire station and other matters properly related thereto. Mr. Gilman, do you have a statement to make?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. With an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse from joining a conversation or voting on this issue as I hold a pecuniary interest in the subject matter. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Osborne, are you going to handle this or is Mr. Loomis going to handle this?
Mr. Chairman, actually both of us. So I'd ask if Mr. Loomis could go ahead and get us started and then I'll go from there.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is the stipulation arises out of the development agreement between TRI Center and Story County, in particular the capital improvement plan portion of that development agreement, which provides that the developer will construct public infrastructure dedicated to the county and submit the cost for constructing that public infrastructure to the county for approval and the issuance of a voucher. Now, the vouchers are to be paid from revenues derived from activities within the TRI Center, and up to 35% of the net revenues from those activities are available to pay the vouchers as we have the money available. Now, in this particular case, the this stipulation, I mean, there was a process whereby TriCenter hired an economics group to identify other sources of revenue that might be available for the retirement of the vouchers, and they prepared a study, submitted it to the county. The county had its own expert review it and made comments on it. And there was some back and forth. I can tell you that this has been probably a four-year-long process to get to this new stipulation. So it's been a long process. A lot of things have been hammered out. It's been contentious at times, but I think at this point we're pretty far along in the process, and I think we understand we're pretty much where we are. And so what this stipulation does is it adds some additional sources of revenue that would be available to retire the vouchers, and those include centrally assessed property taxes, which are imposed by the state. And in this case, we're going to take the portion of pipeline miles within the center and the portion of electric wire lines that are within the center as take the revenues from the centrally assessed property taxes and include those in the revenues that can be used to retire the vouchers. There are a couple of other fees that are fairly minor. There's the liquor and gaming license fees that are generated within the center. There are the utility fees charged by Nevada Energy to customers within the industrial park. There are waste management pickup fees charged by waste management to customers within the park. Those are the fairly minor revenue sources, I would say. The major revenue source is a change in the addition of sales tax revenues. And the reason for the change is that we have been on a guaranteed share payment program, which was not really attributable to any type of specific sales tax revenue generated within the park. So they have not been included in the revenues up to this day. Now, with the change, when we went off the guaranteed share part of it, we now get sales tax revenues from the state that are more easily identifiable as having come from the park. Now, we don't have an exact percentage of what sales tax revenues are generated within the park versus sales tax revenues generated countywide. And so we have an estimate that 80% of the sales tax revenues generated within the county are actually from activities that occurred in the park. And so this stipulation provides that the we're going to use 80% of sales tax revenues as a source that is available.
Now, one of the things that we have done is we have established what is called a base amount, in which the fair share amount that we used to get and the basic city county relief tax amount are excluded from the sales tax revenues that are going to be available for retirement vouchers. That's the provision that was designed to make it so that the county isn't damaged or injured by the fact that we left the fair, the guaranteed share amount, and we went to this new way of getting sales taxes. And so I think what we're saying at this point is we can leave out the base amount. The additional sales tax revenues generated above and beyond the sales, the base amount, will be included in the project revenue. The development agreement, and so those are all the additional sources of revenue that are going to be counted towards net revenues that will be available for retiring the vouchers. Now, the development agreement provided that the developer was going to be required to build a second fire station and a 10-acre park. What this stipulation says is that we're not going to require that they build the fire station or that they build a park. What we're going to do is we're going to take $4 million off of what is owed in the vouchers, and we'll use that. That's going to offset the cost to the county of building the fire station. We're not going to build a park. The other aspect of this is that the developer will deed to the county a parcel of property that is identified in the agenda that is down by Waltham Way for the county to use to construct its fire station if that's what we want to do. That parcel has been reviewed by the fire district, and they are satisfied that yes, it can be used suitably as a fire station. Another aspect of this stipulation is that currently, and this is a result, initially when we had the development agreement, the operation and maintenance costs of providing services within the park were going to be deducted from project revenues to get to the net revenues. In stipulation number two, we changed that process and said, okay, look, it's kind of difficult to figure out exactly what are our maintenance and operation costs, so we're going to agree on a set figure. And that set figure was going to increase by 5% every year. Now, what that leaves out is one-time major expenses, because we don't change the O&M costs. We have a set figure that increases by a set percentage. Now, so we have a $50,000 item that we're resealing a road or something along those lines. That's not going into O&M costs at this point. Now, so what this stipulation says is, if we have a major expenditure in excess of $50,000, that major expenditure will be included in the operation and maintenance costs for that year, meaning that the net revenues available for the retirement of the vouchers will be reduced by the extent of the increased amount of operation and maintenance costs. That's provided in here. There's also a provision that says that the operation and maintenance costs will increase at the time the Tesla payments made pursuant to the general services agreement comes to an end in 2024-25. So when that amount goes down, the O&M cost will increase by the amount of the reduction. And so that's also going to be included in the O&M cost. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions unless Austin wants to provide some other information. I know that Bob Morris is on the line here, and he may have some further insight also.
Okay. Well, I'll go to Commissioner Carmona and ask if you have any questions for Keith or Bob or Austin.
No, I do not at this time.
Okay. Mr. Morris is on the line. Bob, did you want to enlighten us on anything else pertaining to this?
I'm sorry. I misspoke, Mr. Chairman. That's Bob Sater, not Bob Morris.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Chairman, this is Bob Sater. Can you hear me all right?
We can. Thank you, Bob, for joining today.
Yes, I just want to make an appearance. I represent Tahoe Industrial Center, and personally negotiated this stipulation with Mr. Lomas and Mr. Osborne and others. We are in favor of approval of the stipulation. We're prepared to sign it, and I've been authorized to implement the elements of the stipulation that have to be implemented after signature, such as cancellation of vouchers and the supply of a deed for the fire station site. So we support the staff report. I think the summary by Mr. Loomis was very accurate. And I'm here for questions or comments if necessary.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Sater. All right. Why don't we go ahead and we'll open up if there's any public comment regarding the stipulation agreement.
Yeah, Sam Toll, Gold Hill. The Department of Taxation has been kind enough to provide me with a breakdown of the sales tax generated within the county by zip code. And I'd just like to point out that as of July 2018, the amount of money that this, in sales tax that has been generated at TRI is about $700 million. The rest of the county has generated about $120 million. So that's a little different from the 80% figure that Mr. Loomis had alluded to. I'm also concerned that because the county is going to have to build what we've been discussing and what we're getting is actually less than what we originally planned, that Mr. Norman is going to end up on the long end of the stick. So I'd just like the record to point that out.
Okay, thank you. Is there any additional public comment?
Mr. Chairman, if I could add one other thing, that the sales tax percentage is subject to revision every 5 years, and that if it turns out that the 80% of the revenue is not coming from the park, then we could reduce it or increase it depending upon how that changes. And that's going to be based upon measuring the amount of square footage of commercial activities within the park and outside of the park. And there is an Exhibit A. I think Austin has that Exhibit A, which has the list of what are considered to be the commercial uses. There's some provision in the stipulation that addresses some of those additional uses, but there is a possibility for changing that percentage if it turns out to be inaccurate.
Very good. Thank you for that, Mr. Loomis. All right, I'll open up one more time for public comment. Additional public comment.
And Mr. Chairman, before you go to motion, I have a few things to add to this.
Go right ahead, Austin.
Thank you. And I was going to kind of wait for a public comment to see what questions came about. I really think Mr. Lemus did a fabulous job explaining this. It is very complex. A lot of work was put into this as far as, paperwork, going through all the details, as well as numerous visitations with the Department of Taxation to try to figure things out, like the amount of sales tax coming out of Tri versus Story County. And seemingly on the surface, it looks simple, but then you'll start looking at abatements, and you start looking at the zip codes, and then you start looking at the fair share formula that the state uses to redistribute funds. It gets very complicated very quickly. There are other elements added to this, too, that the tonnage of garbage that comes through the landfill, some of that is coming out of Tri, and under the agreement, originally, that would be subject in this. And in this agreement, it will not. We don't have to mess with that. I can go over a lot of things, but I think a key thing to add here that Mr. Loomis did talk about, I'm not going to repeat what he said, but we have a fire station that's going to be needed in this area to serve not only where Tri is now, but also the Patrick area. And there's a piece of land available that is strategically located within a 5-mile radius of these parcels that it needs to serve. And then we have in the existing agreement that Rogers to build a park. We don't want a park at the industrial place at the center. It's not the place for that. So we're going to essentially get $2 million for a park, and we're going to get $2 million for Station 76 to put into all of the things that are needed to serve that fire station out in that area. I think that is a major element of this plan that would not necessarily come out as it is without this agreement. I think Keith alluding to the sales tax and commercial use calculator is important. One day, Tri-Center might become the minority of commercial activity in the county, and there is a recalculating element here for that, such as of another place in the county where to expand significantly in commercial uses. Gas and diesel tax, we don't have diesel tax or gasoline tax. Those things are exempt from this. And I could go into a lot of other things, but Keith really covered them just fine. Before a motion is made, there is an Exhibit A that goes to the STIP agreement, and it is a list of all the types of commercial uses that would be applicable to that commercial use calculator. It's not included in your packet, and so because of that, I'll have to read it verbatim. It's a little bit lengthy, but I would need to add that exhibit to the STIP agreement, and I'd be happy to read that when you're ready. Thank you.
Go right ahead, Austin, if you're ready.
So it's a bit long. It's Exhibit A. Exhibit A to Stipulation Number 4 of the Sterling County Tahoe Industrial Center Development Agreement. List of commercial uses in the resolution determining similar uses in the I2 industrial zone at the Tahoe Industrial Center. Definition of each shall be those specified in the resolution determining similar uses in the I2 industrial zone at the Tahoe Industrial Center. There's 43 uses. Retail uses, truck stops, vehicle fueling stations, automotive repair, sales, rental and service, commercial and business offices, medical uses and offices, building maintenance services, commercial campgrounds, RV parks and facilities, commercial education, commercial kennels, commercial parking, communications facility, construction, sales and services, convention and meeting facilities, dog training services, eating and drinking establishments, equipment repair and sales, manufacture and pre-manufactured or prefabricated housing sales, financial services, food preparation and catering services, fuel, full service recycling center, gasoline sales and service stations, grooming and pet stores, heliport, Ellis Dump, hotels, motels, and transient commercial uses, entertainment uses, gaming, massage establishments, medical services, neighborhood centers, personal services, personal storage, professional services, radio controlled model aircraft facilities, unmanned aircraft facilities, regional centers, remote, radio and equestrian events, or rodeo and equestrian events, right? Storage and operable vehicles, undertaking, veterinary services, truck and railroad terminals. Those are all uses that are listed in the existing resolution, similar uses that are defined there. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Austin. Okay, I'm going to go back out one more time and see if there's any public comment.
Commissioner McBride, Sam Sol again from Gold Hill.
Sam, on public comment, Sam, it's only a one-shot deal.
Okay, well,
right. If you recall the rules of public comment, you get one bite at the apple. So I'm going to make an exception now, but please make it brief.
Thank you, Commissioner. Just briefly to point out that the $700 million that's collected out of TRI is subject to abatement, and there's no way to clearly determine how much money we actually, of that $700 million, we don't actually collect. So it adds into the equation and skews the math dramatically. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional public comment? Okay, I'm going to go to Commissioner Carmona and ask you if you have any concerns about this stipulation agreement or if you're prepared to entertain a motion to approve it.
No concerns at this time, Chairman. I think, I really think under all circumstances, we're
trying to make the best for both parties. I feel comfortable with it. I'm happy to move forward with the motion.
And if you would go ahead and do that, then please. Yes.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve stipulation number 4 between Story County and TRI Center regarding revenues to be included in project revenues, retirement of vouchers in the amount of $4 million, the waiver of obligation by TRI Center to build a fire station and park, the conveyance of real property for a fire station and other related matters. This motion is contingent upon the delivery of a grant, bargain, and sale deed conveying real property bearing APN number 005-041-65 to Story County.
Very good. I have a motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Anyway, a big congratulation has to go out with Chief Deputy District Attorney Mr. Loomis for all the hours that he has put in on this, Austin Osborne. And he's been working on this for many, many years. Everyone has. And Mr. Sater, thank you for attending today. And thank you for your participation in this as well. So this is one more step in where we're going with the industrial park. So thank everybody who participated. We're going to move along. We're going to welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board now. And we're going to move on to item number 19. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of a transfer of appropriations in the Story County general budget. Ms. McCain, do we have you on board here?
Yes, Chairman.
Are you going to handle this, Jennifer?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
At this time, every year, we review the budget of the current year and make adjustments accordingly for areas that had unforeseen circumstances and that we were not prepared to budget for. The previous year, our budgets are approved the beginning of May, and there are substantial amount of items that can transpire between May and June, as well as July through the following June of the current year. So that's what these augments represent. Transferring money from contingency into general department funds, that's what the contingency line item is for. It's 3% of our expenses. And this year we budgeted $486,317 for contingency, and we are utilizing $345,700 to correct some budget items, if you will. The main one that you'll see repeated throughout our discussion today is has to do with some wages and benefit issues. The AFSCME contract was approved after the budget was approved, and there was a 2% increase to their pay schedule, which was not reflected in this budget. Fortunately, not every department had to have that adjustment made. The ones in the general fund that did see some adjustments were the assessor's office, justice court, the service department, and as far as the general fund, those are the only ones that did see that that change needed to have an adjustment. Other major adjustments were the clerk treasurer's office had an unbudgeted item for an unemployment benefit paid out to a past employee, as well as some bank charges that was agreed that the county would absorb for the current COVID pandemic. The sheriff's department had a few unforeseen circumstances that unfortunately went over the budget. One of those is his coroner's line item, some auto maintenance and tires, as well as his fuel budget went over, and that was a little bit more of a confusion with the calculations and how that shows up in the new system for him. Community relations, there was an adjustment made because the senior center grant payment that we make to them every year was not budgeted, with the correct amount, so we had to augment her budget with $85,000. The service department had some adjustments made for wages, PERS, health insurance. It was due to that 2% increase, as well as some miscalculations on the initial spreadsheet that's done in Excel before brought over into the budget. Services also had a $6,300 payment for unemployment benefits that was not budgeted for a past employee. The comptroller's office, we had a substantial unbudgeted payout amounts in wages and PERS that had to have some adjustments. The wages were $27,000 and PERS was $55,000. Emergency management had a $1,500 adjustment made to the health insurance, and that was a miscalculation on the payout for a health insurance benefit that somehow didn't get calculated correctly on the original spreadsheet. We move on to the transfers between contingency and other special revenue funds within the county budget. There's $50,000 that will be moved over to the Emergency Mitigation Fund strictly due to some COVID-19 expenses that we had no foreseen to budget for. Would you like me to stop between each section and answer questions or just continue with this item?
Well, you can finish up with where you're at because we can move on to your roads and everything else going forward. So we might as well do each segment at a time there, Jennifer.
Okay. We had some transfers within a department to cover unforeseen circumstances. The IT department took some of their capital equipment of $10,000 and applied it to cover their wages, which again is a representation of that 2% increase. Special revenue funds transfers between their own objects and within their department. There was a total of $52,800 taken from professional services, their sand and salt, and their insurance premium, which was redistributed to wages and PERS, health insurance. And the big ticket item here was the retiree insurance subsidiary that was not budgeted for. That was a new thing that happened this year. It used to all be paid out of the admin budget and was decided mid-year to spread that between special revenue funds. BCTC took $36,000 out of their fairground rents and leases, and we reappropriated that to wages, PERS, and health benefits as well. That's it for that.
Okay.
You can ask any questions.
All right. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer regarding this one?
Not at this time, Chairman.
All right, great, thanks. Commissioner Gilman?
No questions, thank you, Mark.
All right, is there any public comment regarding this item? Item 19. Okay. So, Commissioner Carmona, can we get a motion to go ahead and approve the transfer of these appropriations, I should say.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, approve the transfers of appropriations within the general fund departments and special reserve funds pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $444,500.
Second to motion.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 20. Discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of resolution 20-579, augmenting the Story County Capital Projects Fund. Hey, Ms. McCain.
For this item, we had originally budgeted
Jennifer, I need you to speak into your microphone or into your telephone.
Through various projects that came about throughout the year, we need found the need to augment this budget from the total available resources. We're not taking money from any other fund. We are just, what this resolution is going to tell taxation is that we do have the money in the fund, and we are reallocating that to be able to spend it. Those the two main items that are causing this is the water project that's being approved and will ultimately be paid for with a bond from USDA, as well as the Gold Hill septic, which will also be ultimately reimbursed the capital project fund with the bond from USDA. Unfortunately, we have to spend this money before they fund the loans. So that's where all the movement of money here is mainly coming from.
Right. Okay. Great. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer regarding this item?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer? Commissioner Gilman, did you hear me?
I did. I answered. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. Okay. I'll open up for public comment. Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, approve resolution number 20-579, which accepts the augmentation for the Story County Capital Projects Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $2 million.
Very good. I have a motion. I have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great. Moving along now to item number 21. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolutions 20-580, augmenting the Story County Indigent Accident Fund. Ms. McCain.
Okay, so this is a augmentation due to the fact that the Indigent Fund received more revenue than expected. Therefore, we needed to send the Nevada Comptroller's Office more money than we anticipated. This is strictly an in and out fund. What comes in must go out. So we need to, if our revenues go up, we need to change the amount of budget expenses to match.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this resolution? Hearing none, if I could ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, approve resolution number 20-580, which accepts the augmentation for the Story County Indigent Accident Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $9,500.
All right.
I'll second that motion.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 22, discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of resolution 20-581, augmenting the Story County Justice Court Fund. Ms. McCain.
Okay, the Story County Justice Court Fund is a fund that receives revenue from various types of cases that come through the Justice Court and allows Justice Court judge, in our case, Judge Harrington, spend that money based on specific NRS regulations. During this current year, Judge Harrington found the need to either update computer equipment or pay more out for free child services than she had originally budgeted for. So we took money from her ending fund balance to supplement this budget and show taxation that the funds do exist in the balance, and we were not spending money we didn't have.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not at this time, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I have none, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay, no public comment. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve?
I, Jay Carmona, approve resolution number 20-581, which accepts the augmentation for the Story County Justice Court Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $14,800.
I will second your motion.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. So on item 23, we're going to recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the 474 Fire Protection District Board, bringing us up to item number 24, discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of transfer of appropriations in the 474 Fire District. Ms. McCain.
Fire District operates on their own, as we know, and they also have a contingency fund, which is also 3% of their expenses. Throughout this year, the fire chief had the need to purchase the capital outlay item in their 280 fund, which is his capital projects fund. So we transferred $30,000 of contingency funds into his capital projects.
All righty, very good. So, Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
No questions, thank you.
All right, open up. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, approve the transfer of appropriations within 474 Fire District pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $30,000.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. At this time, we're going to recess as the 474 Fire Protection District Board and convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board, bringing us up to item number 26, which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of transfer of appropriations in the Water and Sewer Fund. Ms. McCain.
Okay, so this is a transfer of funds that were originally budgeted for in the Water Department to pay for the interest and principal of the USDA loan that is for those water projects that we mentioned in capital outlay. And this is going to supplement their wages line item. This is due to the 2% increase in the union contract, as well as a miscalculation on the percentages that are split between public works departments. In the amount of $41,000.
All right, very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any additional questions for Jennifer?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jennifer?
None, thank you.
Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing no public comment, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Yep. I, Jay Carmona, approve the transfers of appropriations within the Water Fund and Sewer Fund pursuant to NRS 354.598005 in the amount of $41,000 for water.
All right.
Second the motion.
The motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Item 27, we're going to recess as the Story County We're going to recess the Story County Water Sewer Board and reconvene the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us up to item number 28. Discussion for possible action. Authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $100,000 retaining Loomis and Associates Incorporated for an as-needed assistance in professional planning and structural engineering services. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Over about the past year, I reached out and talked with some different engineers in the region that provide structural engineering services as well as some other things like environmental permitting, that sort of thing. And try to kind of get a little bit just a general off-the-shelf engineer for simple projects like metal buildings or general building improvements, and not necessarily those related to our existing engineers that provide very specialized work in historic buildings and unreinforced masonry, things like that. So Loomis and Associates, they have a great program, and we thought we'd give them a try here. So this would be a retainer up to $100,000. If we don't use them, it costs us nothing, but they might be, be able to provide us assistance in doing more structural engineering and all of that. This does not conflict with Far West Engineering. They provide our civil engineering services, so it's a totally separate type of program. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any additional questions for Austin regarding this?
I do not.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any additional questions for Austin?
No questions, but I know Loomis to be a very respected group, and in our community, I've done a lot of work with them years past, and I have myself served as well. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you, Lance. All right, I'll open up for public comment. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay. No additional public comments. So, Commissioner Carmona, would you please entertain a motion to approve this contract?
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, authorize the county manager to approve a contract not to exceed $100,000, retain Loomis and Associates Incorporated for as-needed professional planning and structural engineering services.
I second that motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 29, discussion for possible action, approval of business license second readings. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development recommends approval of A through E, all of these second readings that you see in front of you.
Very good. Thank you. I like the name of the local handyman there, Slim Pickens Construction. That's an old... That's an old Western actor, which is appropriate. So, is there any public comment regarding the approval of these second license business readings, business license readings? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. I move to approve the second reading of the business licenses A through E.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve the approval of the business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 30. This is public comment. We're open for public comment now. Okay.
I was just wondering, this is targeted towards Joe Curtis, but I don't see him on board anymore. But will there be any...
Philip, go ahead and pause for 1 second, or about 20 seconds. The noon siren has just gone off on the roof of the courthouse, and it'll take a little while before it simmers down. And if you'll just hold on, I'll let you know when to start speaking again, because otherwise our audio might not pick up the conversation. Okay, go ahead and continue, Mr. Hilton.
Philip Hilton, for the record. Will there be any COVID testing down in Lockwood? I noticed that Mr. Joe Curtis said that there'll be COVID testing in Virginia City, but he didn't mention any of the surroundings.
You know what? Mr. Hilton, you know, I saw something. I don't know. Austin, do you know any dates on there? I saw something. There's going to be something in Dayton, something in Virginia City this week. I'm not sure about the Lockwood, but go ahead, Austin.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Joe is online, so I'll just mention one, let him take over. There is one. The next one is in Virginia City. That's tomorrow from 8 to 10 o'clock. Mr. Hilton, they've been having these testings all over the county. Those locations are posted at our COVID website and others. It looks like, Jeff, you have chimed on. Is there anything you want to mention with us? Go ahead.
Yeah, Joe doesn't log back here or get back on. There is a scheduled testing in the Lockwood area the middle of July, I believe, the 17th or 18th. But it is that time frame, the second or third week of July.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. And just for those that are interested in this, you know, the governor wants 2% of the state tested every month, and which is over 60,000 people per month. And it's my understanding that this is going to go on for maybe up to the next 2 years, not unless they come out with a vaccine or this virus disappears. So, okay, we'll continue.
To anybody, you can just Google COVID-19 Story County. The first thing that pops up for you is our hotline. It's all kinds of information related to COVID-19, whether you're business, whether you're a person needing service, and all of the scheduling for the testing is posted on that.
Thank you for that, Austin.
Thank you for the update.
All right. Any additional public comment?
Marshall, this is Stacy York.
Go ahead, Stacy.
The COVID testing in Lockwood will be July 8th from 9 to 11.
Very good. Thank you. July the 8th from 9 to 11. Okay. If everybody heard that, Stacy said Lockwood will be January the 8th from 9 to 11. All right. Any additional public comment? Hearing none, we're going to adjourn. Thank you all for attending today.